Like everybody else who works for this foundation, Lonnie works really hard and is fully deserving of our full attention and respect.
I think it'll be okay. I can work it from here.
So if we could give him our full attention and respect, I would appreciate it. Lonnie, take it away.
I usually open up these things, these presentations, by saying I have good news and bad news. Okay. I'm not going to change that. As I was saying, I have good news and bad news, and I always do that when I let's do the bad news first. Well, what I thought I'd do is rather than go through to detail first, that I would do a very simple statement of our financial situation as of this date, and so that folks can understand. Some very short presentation, leave time for questions. Every year at Pacifica, we have to raise an additional $600,000 to $700,000. Every year, we have to raise an additional $600,000 or $700,000. What's in that $600,000 or $700,000? It would be salary increases, benefit increases, and new staff that we hire on, or staff we hired on in the previous year, that those salaries are annualized in the following year. The problem is that our revenues have been flat for the last 3 years. So we've accumulated a sort of cash deficit of $600,000 times three. So we are in a situation where revenues have been flat, but expenses go up every year at least $600,000 or $700,000.
I can't fully attend to you. There's a lot of other conversations going on in the room. If anybody's got to have some other conversations, it's fine to step out into the hallway. If you could do that, that would help the rest of us focus, because this is serious stuff for our future.
And so what I'm going to do today is give you an idea of the problem and then propose some solutions. At least I come with some ideas. I'm not going to leave you depressed. Well, maybe I will. But I tell you, I do come to the board meetings, and to this board meeting I didn't have much to say, because when I'm listening, I'm counting in my in my calculator how much additional expense is being discussed. And that's all I can think about. All right, so let me just give you my count today was $225,000 that we were talking about in additional expenses. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to spend those. It's just a little exercise I do. Sure, we got all of that. We have more than enough. We have that, sure, right away. Let me just give you, this is my CFO report, and let me take you right to the heart of that report. And I put colors in the CFO report because I wanted people to read it. Some people see numbers, they go into a trance. And I know it's dull and boring and nobody wants to read this stuff, so I try every trick in the book to make it interesting. So I put color in there, and I would put my grandmother in there if I could get people to read it. Now, here's the problem. The problem is that I want to highlight for us is right here. This is, then I'll move on to another slide. This is the February forecast, and it gives you what our revenue was in FY04, right there, what our revenue was in FY05 and 06, and what's projected for FY07. As you can see, the revenue for FY07 compared to FY06 is down $62,000. That's flat. That's what I mean by flat. But the expenses from 06 to 07 projected are not flat, up $574,000. Well, there's the math. Revenue flat, expenses up. That's not good. you want to have expenses match revenue just to stay even. But if you're going in the other direction, you have a problem. And that's what I have here. We have a problem, and those of you that have read it can see what I'm discussing in the CFO report. And what I wanted to do is propose options and see what we need to do to have a sustainable financial future. And I go through some various options, short-term options and problems, short-term solutions, et cetera. So you can read those. I won't read it to you. Instead, what I want to do is go directly to another report, which you have not seen, and so that you can see what I think are the broad measures that we need to take to deal with. Everybody always comment on comment. Yeah, they always comment on my files. I'm not going to show you my files anymore. I did send this out to you, The Shape of the Digital Future, because it was some data that was compiled by NPR. So some of you have that. But I want to take you to a slide you have not seen. Now, those that want this PowerPoint presentation, I'll be happy to send it to you. So don't feel like you have to go through it. I want to go to the end of this report. But those are good data here. It's a little old. It's 2005. So I'm not going to take you through it since most of you haven't. I'm going to go to the end where I start to get serious about what we can do. Here we go. This good data, it deals with how many people are listening online, on radio, or watching television at various parts of the day. I would commend this to you, even though it's a 2005 data. And I did steal it from NPR. All right, here's I'm going to do two slides and I'll be finished. Here's our financial problem. Revenues are flat. Expenses keep going up. We're standing at the cusp. We have expense creep. Expense creep is death by a tiny cuts. We add a little expense here, a little expense there. And what has happened in the last 2 years, we've been saved by gifts. Last year, we had a surplus of $1.6 million, but $1.3 million of it was gifts. Out of the blue, wasn't budgeted for, saved us and made us look like we were doing great. We are not doing great when you have to depend on random gifts. Without the random gifts last year, we would have been in some serious financial issues. We'd have been spending money from savings. We would have had to, depending on your station, look at layoffs for this year. Because if we had not gotten $1.3 million, that's where we would be. We'd end the year with something like $400,000 or $500,000. Well, some folks say, well, that's a lot. What's your problem? $500,000 is a lot. Well, no. We spend $1.5 million a month. If the whole network only ends up with $500,000 and we need $1.5 million a month, where's the money going to come from to pay that very next month's expenses? Here's bottom line. Salaries, 2005. You can see salaries are up 18% in the period 204 to 207, whereas revenue on the listener support side is up only 8.19%. Well, that's not sustainable. Our basic cost needs, this is also in the face that we're not investing in our aging infrastructure. We're not putting money into our equipment. We're not keeping up technologically. That's a cost. We just haven't spent the money on it, but we will. Technology gap. We have a gap in the technology, in our ability to stay current with what's going on. Investment needs. We need to invest in building, plant, and we lack the capital or the savings to do it. Stations need to move from expensive quarters or the leases up. The archives. In order to restore the archives, $12 million. Governance costs. I'll go quietly past that one. Legal costs. Our legal costs are going up, as you all know, for various reasons. Health benefit costs. Kaiser up 20% last year. We need to identify new revenue ideas and broaden our base of collaborations. We self-generated revenue, and that means revenue that we're generating currently from our operating. It's not working. I think that some of the key ideas for generating new revenue, the RFP is critical. We want new ideas about generating revenue. Common licensing, critical idea because it will result in a wider distribution to others who we are and the programming that we're able to influence, create, and disseminate. Affiliate collaboration is absolutely critical. We've underused our affiliate network. We've not done what we need to do in terms of bringing us and them closer, although Ursula's doing a great job. We now, as she has stated, need to move to the second step. Second step is critical. Expense controls, you know what that is. Reconceptualize the network, my last slide. I think we have to work at three different levels. We have to have a self-sustaining national strategy, and I am proposing, and I have demonstrated, that progressive organizations across this country will support Pacifica as a progressive network and our progressive programming, and they will write checks to us. How much? $1 million for the last 3 years. Every year, we mail to ACLU, Nation, Mother Jones, and say, we, Pacifica, are the independent source of information in this country. Support us in our programming. They do. So the national strategy is self-sustaining. It can work, and it does work. And I think that as we move toward 2008, it will be also a source of revenue for us. National programming can and has produced revenue, that is programming we create here at Pacifica. National affiliate and grassroots programming is part of a self-sustaining national strategy, and we must look to see how we can do that for fundraising we've often talked about with those folks. National impacts and national event broadcasts. We raise money on some of our national events. We raise it on the air. We say to Pacifica listeners, this is brought to you by Pacifica. Please support and help defray the cost for this broadcast. And I think that bottom-up content from local stations and affiliates is a part of a national strategy for generating and creating content. I am pushing regional strategy as a companion piece. It's a very simple idea. Every station is in a metropolitan area, the number of people that our stations, if you add up the population of those metropolitan areas, we have a market of 35 to 40 million people, not a million listeners. That's who simply listens to us. But the market that we are in can be seen as accessing 35 to 40 to 50 million people. Now, regionally, every station, my argument goes, should see themselves as not just local broadcasters, but regional broadcasters, saying to surrounding five-state area and the progressive organizations and individuals in those five-state areas, we want to be your progressive media outlet. Support us in our programs here at WBI or here at WPFW. And will people support a station they can't even hear? Yes. They have sent the dollars to prove it. So I'm saying to stations, conceptualize yourselves as regional broadcasters, including the affiliates in your region, including the progressive organizations in your region, and also create regional programming and regional strategies. Have we done that? Yes, we have. We did a program called 10-10-10, which was essentially regional programming. We went to 10 different states in the 10 weeks before the 2004 election, and worked with local folks on 10 critical issues in their regions. What would be regional programming? Southwest is water. We, on a national broadcast, may not take up water issues, but it certainly is a regional issue. And we should look to be able to create those collaborations around regional programming and regional issues. Finally, local. I agree with Ambrose 101%. We must outreach to local progressive organizations. Why will we do that? Because we're nice? No, it is. Do you know if you were to say to develop a collaboration with NAACP, I wouldn't ask for a dime. All I would ask for is access to their mailing list. I just need the mailing list. And we'll swap maybe their mailing list, our mailing list. We do that, ACLU, Nation. That is worth thousands of dollars. So the collaborations we're talking about are not just altruistic. They need us. We need them. We get in trouble politically, and we don't have community support. Who's going to write those letters to those congressmen in support of keeping the Internet open? Who's going to write and help us out on FCC issues when they come up? We must have friends. And it can be very mutual. We can outreach the local community leadership. I am proposing that as a part of looking at HD, SCA, and websites, that we create as programs cross-cultural programming where people in that community can have a show talking about cross-community, cross-racial issues, talking to one another, leaders in that community. Make Pacifica create, we create and produce and own real community leadership programming where you invite those folks in. And you can do town hall meetings as well. Put them on the web. Do trainings. Do remote broadcasts. And also, here's the punchline, sliding scale funding. Just as we have a sliding scale funding mechanism in place for our affiliates, we can do that on the local level as well. I tested it in Berkeley, called up the NAACP and said, we'll help you create a show where you can keep in contact with all five members, all five chapters of the California NAACP. It'll be a show. You can talk about events. You can talk about get access to your members. You can learn how to do radio. We can train some of your young people to be able to do radio. We can put your footprint on in a national context. We are Pacifica. Now, I was talking with Ambrose, and I said, the problem with Pacifica is we take a megaphone, and we are a megaphone compared to other media, and make it into a whistle. Why would we do that? We have a megaphone. Use that megaphone, and other folks want a megaphone to access those 35 to 50 million people I was talking about. That's what you say to them. We have access to a market of 35 to 50 million people. Will they come running to us? Yes, they will. Will they pay the sliding scale? Yes, they will. Source of sustainable revenue, source of ongoing contacts in each community. All right. Last slide here. What's going to be the shape of the Pacifica decision tree? That is to say, I'm going to follow through on these revenue ideas. I will not be off the trail of those dollars. Trust me, I will be right there. But internally, we have platform mix choices. Are we going to remain analog over the air broadcaster? Are we going to do analog in HD? Are we going to go to satellite radio? Are we going to podcast and archive our shows? Are we going to go to cell phone distribution? What about websites? We can choose some, all, or none. But these are choices. That's the platform mix issues that face us. Distribution mix issues. What about common licensing? What about podcasting? What about affiliates and audio port? What about virtual programming? Narrowcasting. Narrowcasting is what I'm referring to as taking small groups in communities, especially leaders, and create shows around those folks, which we own and produce, and that becomes an enormous community influence because we are able to put those folks on the air and at the same time access their membership and create that relationship of collaboration. Finally, production choice mixes. Are we going to do bottom-up content using affiliate and independent producers? Are we talking it? Are we going to really do it? We have creative, brilliant producers. We need to have a concept of bottom-up and open up the grids. Open up the grids so that there can be a way for those folks to create and produce content. Current production, paid staff and volunteers, that's how we produce now. And we do contract production as well, FSRN Democracy Now, of course, being the predominant examples. Affiliate production, affiliate shows, affiliate content. We must create a mix of content producers. And the one I think that, in terms of this narrowcasting idea, Pacifica, wholly owned production products. We own the products. And I think the leadership broadcast notion will fly, can pay for itself, and also gives us a new wholly owned production product. Now, sum up. We need a mix of local strategy, national strategy, and regional strategy integrated in a way that they're all three working together with inputs from local, regional producers, national, affiliate, documentary producers, youth, and public, the public itself, and listeners. So anyway, that's the argument I'm making is in racking my brain about how can we conceive of projects that will be sustainable, produce sustainable revenue into the future. These are some ideas. Some of them are good, some of them are bad, but they're on the table. And I did mention in my CFO report some worse ideas, which was layoffs, cutbacks, Underwriting?
Ooh.
I wrote that when my hand was trembling.
Underwriting.
Yeah, my hand was trembling. But, you know, I wrote, what else, some of the ideas? You can see them in the CFO report. Those are not good ideas because they're not good ideas. These are good ideas. Because you can't cut yourself off at the kneecaps and expect to prosper in the future. So that is some ideas, which I'm hoping will spark better ones than I've been able to put out here today. But I say to you that in the radio market we're dealing with, we must think outside the box. We must try 2, 3, 4. We have to more than one arrow in our quiver, try a lot of different things, and see what works. And what works, we keep. What does not work, we say, maybe next time. Okay, that's my report for this evening, folks.
Lonnie? Lonnie, you mentioned the RFP, but you didn't mention the funding that's been discussed, and that didn't come up because we don't have a finance report. But maybe you could address that quickly.
Sure. The board at its last meeting did approve and a request that the executive director, CFO, in conjunction with other folks, create an RFP process. That's request for proposals.
And hold on a sec. Can we get full attention again?
The board at its last meeting did pass a motion. Two companion piece motions. One is looking to establish an RFP process, and I think, Ambrose, you had a motion, too, looking at local community contact and collaborations that would be possible, especially on the net to create new shows. Anyway, the RFP process, it stands for Request for Proposals. The request from the board was that that we create and identify a process. We did do that. It is under review at the Finance Committee. The way it works is that Pacifica would put out a request for proposals in some of these areas or other areas, and that we would set aside $50,000 in order to give folks seed monies in order to pursue those ideas or others that could have revenue implications for us and could, in fact, create new ways to look at radio and new ways to bring our message out there. That's the RFP process. It has been written, it has been done, and we've identified the funds for it as well. So that is out there.
And the three areas that we were going to do, that it includes doing RFPs in, are the area of technology, outreach, and programming. So the portion of the money would go to each, and we would announce that people can make proposals on that. Are there questions for the CFO?
Oh, boy, let me get out of here.
I'll recognize LaVarne, who's the chair of the Finance Committee, and then we'll go to Ambrose, and I think Don had something, and then we'll go to management.
Okay. Thank you for the report. And you do have a finance report. It's there. I distributed it earlier today when we went over the motion for...
We didn't present it. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, we can talk about it tomorrow. And also we can get a copy of the RFP that Lonnie has developed. We will have a copy for you tomorrow. But
let me point out that Greg did the bulk of the work on the process description for the RFP.
That Greg Goomer, our executive director.
Thank you for sharing the blame.
But, I just want to comment that that the report that Lonnie did, you know, as the CFO, Chief Financial Officer, that, you know, it shows that Lonnie understands what the responsibilities are for the staff and the board, and that is to seriously look at ways to raise funds for this organization. So I just want to commend you on the innovative and the really knowledgeable things that you have put up here as far as what we and what our concerns should be as an organization, and it provides a framework for us to move on some of those concerns. Thank you.
And you can have a copy of this PowerPoint presentation. I'd be happy to share, but yes, I'll email it out to you. It's good just for discussion.
Ambrose.
You know, Lonnie, I thought the way you put it up on the board, whether it's going to be analog, HD, or other. My question is, has this board ever given you where we should be going as a network? I mean, we've got Houston. What are the five stations supposed to be? HD, analog, or a confusion of others?
Well, the HD question, stations, as you know, four of the five are going to apply. But what we do with HD, what processes we use to determine how those airways are used, what resources that we'll need to make that a reality, we have not discussed. And I agree with you. The board should come up with a policy package, I should say, on how we, given our mission, should use HD. What are the possibilities? We could look at HD and say, well, let's do commercial. Let's use them in a commercial way and realize the revenue. We could say HD will be used for community access. For communities that don't have access, ordinarily, we can open up the HD channels and say we will have an HD channel in every one of the stations. That will be open for community access. We could use HD channels as cultural, political. We could make it a part of our spectrum, but have, you know, essentially Pacifica Channel 1, Pacifica Channel 2, et cetera, and we can specialize that way. We could use it as an affiliate outlet. We could say, you know, affiliates, here's your reward. We're going to give you a whole channel where you can access our 35 million people market, and it can be a way in which you, folks that are in small markets, can gain access to a large market. There are lots of ways to do HD. And those are some of the possibilities. And the board should decide what will be broad outlines that are mission relevant for HD. Mm-hmm. Now, it does bring us to SCA, too. Let's not leave it out. And then that also goes to websites. If we do produce programming for websites, and we certainly have proposed to do that, how will those new programs be looked at? For whom will they be produced? With what market and with what revenue? So, yeah, those are issues. AC?
Yeah. Could you elaborate on several things I want to throw out here? One is the list that you talked about. The use of the list from the various stations and so forth. What does that mean? Elaborate on it in terms of people's privacy and that kind of thing. Sharing of the list, I should have said.
Sharing of the list.
Yeah, and the other thing is that, speaking of priority again, can't we or shouldn't we move to hire a professional development person? I don't mean partially. I mean a real, sure enough, professional person. I don't know if we have one. I mean, I've heard that we did. But we need somebody who can work under your office that could really spend all of their time pursuing revenue, pursuing some sort of funding on a professional level, not, and they could work with all the stations, it seems to me, on this issue, because the ways that you've described that I think you presented a great report today, but we need someone who can, as a matter of priority, given what you've told us before, that they should sit on top of that. Do you think that's something that the board ought to grant to you? Do you think there's a way in which we can prioritize the budget to include that kind of person?
Well, we have a person in place that right now is part-time, 3 days, and I hear you saying maybe we should have a full-time person.
Yeah, and a professional person.
Well,
or a professional contractor.
Phil has been doing fund development for KPFA for 13 years. He's been
okay.
He's been doing. I have every confidence in his ability to, expanding and taking on these new revenue challenges is something we should look at. It does, if done correctly, will pay for itself.
Right.
Many, many times over. Question of the lists. The lists that I'm referring to are ACLU, Nation, a lot of progressive organizations. In the last 3 or 4 years, we've developed relationships with them, and they make available to us their lists, their membership lists. And we are able to send to their members letters that tell them about Pacifica, who we are, what we stand for. And ACLU likes that. They share the same mission sense we do. So it's not coerced. And it's where progressive organizations are more and more coming together and sharing lists. Now, where they have privacy issues that forbid them to do it, we don't do it. But I think that what I discovered in the last two or three years is that the progressive community in this country will come together if they just, you know, become aware of one another and their and our missions and the complementary nature of our missions. Now, these mailings are a million pieces a year. Mm-hmm. We're mailing to Utah, you know, we're mailing to Montana. Are huge PR pieces for us. People that never heard of Pacifica get a letter. And how do we know? They call at the national office. Who are you folks? They just got your letter. Is there an affiliate near us? So the public relations aspect of it is great. And we have gotten huge gifts from people who got our letter cold in the mail and 6 months later remembered us in their will, some relative. And $300,000 to be exact. We know who gave the money and why because we know the letter that was sent to them. So you never know.
You never know.
And there's always good to get your name as wide as possible.
Right. And one of the glaring, I think, is an omission, perhaps a failure on behalf of this network. One of the largest sources of revenue, I think, in this country is organized labor. And I don't know if we have any serious relationship. And when I work in presidential campaigns and civil rights movement, I see where organized labor spend $90 million on an election. And they underwrite several major groups. They pretty much served as underwriters for the civil rights movement, pretty much. And I don't know if we have any relationship with them. And I think that it's time that we had a meeting. I know that I had spoken with some of them who spoke with Greg, who at least got in contact with you by email. And they wanted to do something. They wanted to be involved. They'd like to see labor issues covered. But we didn't have that. So I think that we're I don't know why we're doing that, but it seems that we've never really pursued that, or at least we're not doing it now.
Well, you do have to sort of walk a tightrope sometimes with how you work with organizations.
Right.
And I'm suggesting the one way to do it is you can say to locals in a five-state area, we will bring and create a show for your local leaders in those five states so you can have come together, talk about issues, regional, local, and labor. Mm-hmm. And we in Pacifica would own that product. And right. they would support it because it's a way of, as I said, contacting their own members in five states. But also the 35, 40 million people in those markets that we're talking about. That's a very attractive package to a labor union.
Yeah, and
same with future feminist organizations. Mm-hmm. People want to be in contact with their members, want to be able to spread the word.
Is that a private
conversation? What's that?
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, anyway, just a matter of folks want to be in contact with their members. And so I think it's, you know, viable way of working in communities.
Don, then Rob, Bertel, that's something, and that'll end our time.
Yeah, I was also interested in these gifts that kind of bailed us out at the last minute. A couple questions. It's a coincidence because the issue just came up just now. I was wondering if this was the kind of culmination of the nurturing of someone or some institution. Mm-hmm. The other thing I wanted to follow up on, AC's development person, it seems like with an aging demographic, maybe the one advantage is that this issue of bequests, you know, to I mean, as long as we have an aging demographic, let's capitalize. But, no, quite seriously.
I did not say that. That was Mr. White.
Did I offend? No. Actually, quite seriously, at KPFK, the development person, Sue Welsh, does do some explanation to people how they can remember KPFK and Pacifica in their wills and so on. So I'm just wondering if these major gifts were the result of nurturing and so on, and whether or not there's any kind of specific program to make bequests, and the whole idea of leaving money to us through a diplomatic way, leaving it in the minds of people.
Well, if I take last year as an example, last year I think was the largest amount of gifts we've had, $1.3 million.
That
was huge.
A bequest?
Yeah, aside for the building that KPFA got, they got a grant, something like that. Well, to answer your question, about half of the large gifts came from the mail drops. The other half came from the efforts of fund development people around the network, cultivating folks around their wills.
Rob, then Bertolt, then we really have to wrap up because Ron can check us.
I would just, Don, I would recommend to you that if you wanted to develop a policy that would encourage the stations to do that and work collaboratively on that with the guidance from someone from KPFA, it might produce some results, important results. I want to make a motion in regard to what Lonnie is saying, that the board consider as soon as possible a proposal that would do four things. One is that each station would identify a national programming proposal that would have the impact of taking programming or programs that are produced or going to be produced at the local level and be produced as national programs, whatever, through whatever platform, that have the impact of creating larger audience. And whether a local station wants to make it one show that could be a national program or a series of shows, that's up to them. The second thing, I would like to see each station come up with a proposal for potential audience that's 100% larger than the audience they're reaching now, and describe geographically and demographically and provide us with lists or organizations that at least are identified that indicate an area of growth. For example, we broadcast at WPFW into Maryland and Virginia and West Virginia and Southern Pennsylvania, but we know that we have listeners, for example, in the Baltimore and the Southern Maryland and Northern Maryland area, for example. Let's see proposals from the stations that say where you can grow audience geographically and demographically, and then, for example, identify if there are, you know, for example, we have in Washington, D.C., tons of labor organizations, both local ones and national ones, that we could convert as listeners if we attempted to do that with programming. The second thing is that I'd like to see, the third part of this proposal is that they should come up with programming which has the impact of converting 20% new listeners. So, in other words, whatever they're going to do with the programming, we'd like to see a proposal that creates 20% new listeners and brings that to each station. And the last part of it is we would like to see a proposal which involves how to convert 5% of the current listeners to members, so that the percentage of people that listen but that aren't members is increased by 5%. So those are the four parts that I would like to see. One is, what are some national programs that you can develop out of what you've got or what you think you can put together? It doesn't have to be an existing program. Secondly, again, show us 100% increase in the audience that's potential, and tell us geographically, demographically, and organizationally, or any other way you can describe it, of where that audience is, which would suggest how you're going to get there. The third part is, increase your audience, your listenership, by 20%. Show us programming changes that are going to do that. And in addition to that, show us programming changes that are going to convert 5% of your listeners, an additional 5% of your listeners, to members. Thanks.
As far as the motion goes, maybe what I'd like to do is, again, ask that be introduced in new business. Those things are of a complexity sufficient that I can almost guarantee we're going to refer them to committee, but we'll put them in new business and then send them to the appropriate committees. And if you could get them printed for us by the time we have new business, we'll be able to deal with them more easily. Bertolt.
Hi, Lonnie. This is looking in your report, the Arbitron estimates. The Arbitron estimates.
Yeah.
It's been going down since 2003, as you mentioned. I'd like you to address that a little bit. Is that, but you mentioned that revenue stream has been steady. So basically, people are giving more, but there are less and less people are giving. So can you elaborate a little bit on that? And, you know, just basically to just alert us of the relationship and what's going on here.
Yeah, we've done quite a bit of analysis on it. It's been the number one issue. Why have our listeners been declining? We all know the answer to that question. Radio in general is not so much the listeners are declining. It's that there are more platforms for people to listen to radio and more choices out there. We're not the only game in town anymore. What we've done, if I'm looking at the numbers, is we've taken the smaller number of listeners that we are, you know, gathered. We've tried to, you know, move some of them to online. And we also have had to extract more dollars from those dwindling numbers. And we've also had to extend our drives and make changes in order to keep the revenue flat. Having done all that, the significant fact is we were lucky to be flat, because it could have very easily have seen a slope of declining revenues that would match the listenership. Now, a important fact is that I say 3 years ago, Pacifica had a million listeners a week.
1.1 million
listeners a week. And now we're 750,000, 760,000. Yeah. And that's a shrinking revenue base, obviously. So what do you do about that? And different ideas. Some folks said, well, we've got 9 out of 10 listeners that don't give. Let's go after the 9 after 10. Some folks have said, like I say, expand your base of listeners. Your ideas are around, but that's what we're doing.
Okay, we're past time again. We have board members who want to ask questions. Does anybody want to move to extend to midnight? Okay, we're 15 minutes over. Goodness gracious. I'm sorry. I think we've been spending 45 minutes now on a report that was half an hour. If we extend every report and want to ask every question every time, we just don't finish.
Point of information, though, Dave?
Yes?
I would say that the board should consider the idea that finances are one of the most critical elements of this foundation. I'm not asking to extend time right now. I'm making the comment that in the future we need to allocate more time. Because half an hour for finances of the entire foundation?
So first of all, the problem is... Okay, we also felt that affiliates were crucial, and we extended that. And we also felt, and I take full responsibility for the fact that licensing and distribution took the time it did. And we wanted all to ask questions of our FCC attorney, all manner of questions. And it's just, you know, we just all need to think about ways of getting greater focus. It's a group goal, and I don't have any better solutions for it. But go ahead, Evelyn, you had a question.
Maybe we just need to start on Thursday. I'd like to make a motion. We keep talking about all these financial things, and one of the things that I keep saying is that we need, on a national level, a development committee. That committee needs to be made up of members from each station, the development committee coordinators, and our national development person. And we need to, and my motion is that we establish a national development committee made up of the development coordinators, development chairs from each station, and the national development director. And, you know, if that's my motion.
The committee has a technical meaning with respect to the board. You're talking about an operations group, essentially an operational side, a staff side group. So I think the form of the motion should be asked that the executive director and CFO convene a development group of staff members within the network whose purview is development.
That's not what I want. That's not my motion.
What do you want? Okay, what do you want? You want a governance body?
That's not my motion. Because I want people on it that represent each station that are currently working on development that will actually get it done. And you know, we can say get staff to do it.
Okay. What I meant was we want the ED and the CFO to convene the development directors at each station and the national development directors as a...
regularly, just like as a task force.
Okay.
Just like the affiliates, because every meeting we do this. And the deficit is growing, and we do this every meeting.
Okay.
You know, and I really think that we need to start actively writing grants and doing some things to get some different kind of money.
So I think this is something we can dispose of quickly. And is there a second to the motion? Okay. I want to recognize Greg first to comment on it.
Well, just a technical point, we don't actually have a national development director. minor detail. No, what we do have is we have Phil Acevedo, who was here until this morning, who actually was a development staff member and does work with Lonnie and myself.
That's
on certain projects. He's also my assistant on other things. He works 4 days a week. So the amount of time one could argue is spent on development nationally is perhaps 2 days a week.
Wendy, you have an amendment?
I just wonder if the board would consider, I'm glad Evelyn changed it to task force. Hey, Evelyn.
Evelyn.
What do you think about having it open to other people, too, who aren't on the board and on the staff?
Okay, we're at time. We're going to need to extend time. If the board wants to debate this motion now and everybody's got ideas about particularly how this thing should be done, then let's extend time right now and do it. Or we can move to new business tomorrow and ask that people who have ideas about it wordsmith it with Evelyn. But I think we need to either act on it now or postpone, or we will not finish. So is there a motion to extend time or postpone? There's a motion to postpone to new to I guess we'll put it in the new business section tomorrow. There's a motion to extend and postpone to new business. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there objections to postponing? Seeing no objections, it's postponed. Okay, now we have to go to our kind host, who, thank you very much, Lonnie. We really appreciate the work and the ideas.